Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Or the old-fashioned way at 92.9. Glad to have you hanging out with us today. Randy, are you ready to let's hop back into what some of the big news of the day as we'll take a look now at what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Talked a little bit of college football last hour with Chip Towers of the AJC, as this would be the week for the SEC Media Days. That's not happening, although the Southeastern Conference does have some meetings going on. They have summoned all 14 athletic directors to Birmingham. They are meeting, not Zooming, but meeting in person to discuss the fall sports schedule. That would include football. We'll see what it looks like. No announcement coming today. The SEC is probably going to wait till early August, and then we'll know what the story is.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm sure it's a process of them getting down there, filling each other out, asking each other questions about, you know, how would you approach this? How do we need to approach this? What happens if this happens? Speaking of asking questions, make sure y'all get y'all AMA questions in. Randy Mac 81, Wendy Radio at at Brian underscore Gebhardt. I can't, at the underscore, they're throwing me off too. Or at the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. Hey, Chris, this is just a process. We just had Chip on, and I was just wondering, like, if this is going to be the case, if the Big Ten jumped the gun, if we feel like the ACC is going to do it, possibly the Pac-12, then why can't the SEC just join in? And I think sometimes when you feel like you're the big bad bully on the street, like the SEC thinks they are as a conference, sometimes they might be mad because maybe we wanted to do it before y'all. Y'all jumped the gun ahead of us. So we'll see how it goes. But it's always something when you can sit in a room across from another man and, like, you know what, this is what I think, instead of having to look at a computer screen. So I think it's going to be a good positive meeting. Don't think you'll have any initial outcome or whatever the conference is going to do, but I think it's just a good start for them to get together and try and work some things out.
The Atlanta Braves have sent out an email to season ticket holders on Sunday saying that they will not be changing their nickname, but they will take a further look at the future of the Tomahawk Chop. Randy, it sounds like the chop has been chopped.
It was a possibility. It is. I just want to know, I mean, are they not going to – what are they going to do if the people start doing it? I mean, that's the thing, because I know it all seemed like it always started with the little drum and all that, so they're not going to do that. Or, I mean, because – you said it was a staple of what, you know, back when the Braves first started this run in the 90s that they got on it. That was always that rallying, you know, and it would give you goosebumps, even if you were watching it on TV. And now for them to say that they're not going to allow, well, they haven't said anything. Let's just look at that. But they said they're going to look at it. And we'll see how that goes from here. But that's my thing. I was like, how are you going to implement this? I mean,
how you going to police it?
You know, how are you going to police it? Because you're talking about thousands of people possibly at an event when there are allowed at an event, and all of them are doing it. Are you going to throw them out? I mean, how are you going to enforce this? And right now, you don't have to worry about it because ain't nobody going to be in there anyway. So you got time to think about the protocols and what you want to do.
Atlanta United lost their first game in the MLS's back tournament to the New York Red Bulls 1-0 on Saturday in Orlando. That snapped Atlanta United's streak of consecutive games with a goal at 27. Here is what Frank DeBoer had to say after the match on Saturday night.
The crosses has to be better, but also the occupation in the box itself, of course, has to be better, but also the finishing.
Oh, Frank. Well, hold on. Yeah. Listen, they lost, so the speech was a little, you know, we always got the you know, his you know, when they win, his English is smooth, Chris. When something bad goes, it goes. That's okay, Frank. That's all right. Hey, that's all right, Frankie. You know what I'm saying? I was like that too, but we know they should have won that match. And like Mike Conte said in his update, I think Chinitra was playing earlier, if you look at this pure stat box, Atlanta should have won that game, and they had the most shots. They had ample shots. They had ample opportunity to score goals. They just couldn't get in the back of the net, and the couple of communications that they had in the back, and it cost them. They lost 1-0. Other than that, they dominated the game, but except for the point where you even talked about it, it seemed like they were out of sync in the back end. That's why they lost.
Yeah, and again, as to Mike's point, they played pretty well, looked good in the second half. They just couldn't quite get that. I don't know, you know, was it the break or how you want to look at it? They couldn't get whatever that was that they needed to be able to get them over the hump. Toronto FC's game against DC United was postponed again after Toronto had an inconclusive test and DC had a positive test. The league said that it would be rescheduled and details would be announced later today. It was originally scheduled to be played on Friday. So then they come back and said, well, hold on, we're gonna push this thing out a little bit further. And I don't know, Rady, I haven't seen anything. If anything on this has come out, so maybe if something is out there, if I've missed it, if you've missed it, if maybe Wendy or Brian could let us know about it.
Oh yeah, we need to figure something out. I mean, these are the possibility of what's going to happen, Chris. We just saw just a major breaking news just came through that Russell Westbrook, guard for the Houston Rockets, has come out and said he's positive. He's in quarantine right now, and if you look at his statement that he just released, Chris, it seemed like he was sick before he got there. These are things that you're going to have to look out for. These are things that are going to, you know, affect how a game goes because, you know, I didn't even think about and when Chip said it, I was like, huh? He said, play a week, take a week off, you know, and that kind of threw me off a little bit when he said that, but it kind of makes sense a little bit because you do have time to recover if somebody does get sick. But this is going to continue to happen right now as much as, you know, we try to keep, you know, you want to try and keep those type of things to yourself and all that. Sometimes it is good for you to say, hey, I got it. Wear your mask. Maybe you won't have to get it or something like that. But yeah, this is a big thing that Russell Westbrook, because he's the first, isn't he the first superstar in the NBA that has come out and said that he was positive with it?
I think so. But Randy, this is our news cycle now. I mean, this is the way it's going to be. Whereas before, you might be hearing something about a guy, you know, tearing his ACL or tweaking a knee or a pitcher having issues with a shoulder or an elbow or whatever. Now it's about positive coronavirus test. That's where we are, and that's the way this is going to be, and it's going to be this way for the foreseeable future. To that end, by the way, some other news involving Major League Baseball from over the weekend. The Giants' Buster Posey came out and said that he will not play this season. Here's Buster Posey.
The Twins were born prematurely. Thank God they are doing really well. But they're going to have to be in the NICU for quite some time. And after much discussion with my wife and doctors, and a decision that I've wrestled with quite a bit since I knew that this adoption was on the table, I've decided to opt out of the 2020 baseball season. We feel this is the best decision for these babies and for our family as well.
Can't argue with a man that's trying to do what he feels like is best for his kids and his wife. That is currently now, I say currently, as of, I believe, Saturday, there were 12 players who were sitting out or had announced they would be sitting out this Major League Baseball season. So, and of course, one other note from baseball, Randy, Aroldis Chapman of the Yankees, he's tested positive for the coronavirus too.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that the other day and everything. And yeah, I mean, you're going to see more players positive. And I think you're at a point right now that you can not necessarily – well, yeah, you can't afford because you're not actually playing any games, many meaningful games right now, that these guys can go in and get this thing. If they do have it, get quarantined, and should be, and hopefully they should be okay. But, I mean, yeah, when you talk about, you know, doing what's best for your family, I mean, these are things that these guys have got to consider. And when you look at where he's talking about, they didn't see this, or him and his wife didn't see this in their future, whatever. You look at Mike Trout, him and his wife are having their first child. I mean, there are situations where you got to take others into consideration. As I said, Jansen, the closer for the Dodgers. I mean, him and his family, him and his wife, his babies, they had it. And, you know, now they're recovered and all that. But, yeah, I mean, these are the things that a player has to deal with. Or, no, I'm not necessarily deal with. Think about it. Because there's one thing about being in Orlando and being in the bubble. It's another thing to have to trust the guys that are not in the bubble. As far as the baseball players, you have to trust your teammates are going to, you know, be doing the right things when they're away from the baseball diamond. When football comes back, you're going to have to trust the fact that the guys, when they leave the facility, that they're not doing anything to put themselves or yourself in jeopardy. So they're going to be a lot of trust. This is a big trust thing right now. You saw Joel Embiid came out last week and was like, you know, he don't trust these guys and all that. And we were making fun because we had the story in the Wendy Zone about the young lady who's talking about they already got invited to the bubble and all that stuff. And it's funny because Chris Hayes just tweeted this out, Chris, that as of the first week in the bubble, the snitch hotline has not been used. So, I mean, I guess the guys are behaving, or, you know, nobody wants to tell on each other. But so far, so good. We have nobody snitching on the hotline that the NBA has down in their bubble.
Randy, going back to something that you had said just a minute ago about, you know, you got to trust the guys on your team, trust the other guys in your clubhouse. I think that goes back to something we talked about earlier. We were talking about the Braves. You've got to have some leadership emerge in that clubhouse to make sure that guys do follow the protocols, because if you're Major League Baseball, you're counting on all those guys across all of baseball to be diligent with this and follow the precautions for 66 days. That's going to be really, really tough to do.
That's going to be really, really hard, man. And I look at it, you know, and I want to make sure I said Russell Westbrook's his comment correct. He said, I tested positive for COVID-19 prior to my team's departure to Orlando. Okay, so he probably did. Okay, so I don't know. Is he there? Because I know I saw the last week that him and James weren't there yet. That could be a reason why he wasn't there. But yeah, this is the new norm, Chris, you know, and it's all about trying to get these tests in, because the thing, what I've seen lately is that the false positive, that's a realization that might happen. Like, you're at a point where you're about to start a game and a guy comes up and it's a positive, but it's a false positive. Then you got to just, how do you revamp everything back up? That's going to be one of the things, because I think you're going to see a lot of those right there, those false positive tests.
The Washington Redskins are no more. The Washington NFL club made the announcement earlier today that they would be dropping the Redskins nickname. They would be dropping their logo. Sounds like they've already got an idea of what the new name for the team is going to be. They're trying to get the trademarks set in place. So it sounds like this may be some dotting of I's and crossing of T's, so to speak, until they can get to the point to where they are able to release what the new name of the NFL club in Washington will be called. A former Washington football player, Fred Smoot, he is one of the guys that's Smooty. In favor of the proposal of the Red Wolves in Washington. Here's Fred Smoot.
Football is going to a game. It's living something. Think about 80,000 people at FedEx Field after Chase Young gets a sack. Just start howling like wolves. You got kids. You got men. You got women. I just think the experience that you can bring, I think the mascot has to be more than just a symbol. It has to be experience.
Interesting point by Fred Smith. Look, Randy, we talked about it a minute ago with the tomahawk chop with the Braves and kind of the atmosphere that created it at Fulton County and at Turner Field and SunTrust Truist Park over the years. Maybe the Wolf Howl could do the same thing and kind of create that. The Redskins haven't had a lot to howl about in recent years. Maybe this will change things.
Yeah, it's been a minute since they had something to cheer about. I remember I asked the question, I was like, when has the last time under Dan Snyder that they've been contending for anything? I mean, I know they've been to the playoffs, but I'm talking about contending for something since he's been there, man. I mean, he is a He is a disastrous owner who I've been around people that, I mean, I know people that's been around him, you know, outside of being, well, you'll always be the owner, but, you know, so he's a very nice man, very charitable man and all those. But, I mean, it was 7 years ago. He said, I'll never change the name. And I'm telling you right now, if FedEx and Nike and Amazon and all these people don't come and don't step up to bat for this, for him getting rid of it, he's not changing the name. He's being forced to change the name. And we all know that. I'm not going to applaud him for changing no name. He does not want to change it. He's being forced to change it because he don't want to lose out on that loot that these folks this money that these people are trying to, you know, no, not trying to, that are going to take away from his program as far as the stadium. And we know what he wants right now, Chris. He wants a new stadium in D.C. And the best way for him to get that stadium possibly right now is to change that name.
Yeah, this is all, I mean, it's money driven, 100%. There is no doubt. No doubt about it. It is money driven. That is a look at what's trending as we get you caught up on what all has happened in and around the world of sports here over the last, 24, 48 hours, I guess, going back over the weekend as we kick off this Monday.
Yeah, Kurt, I got to don't forget, guys, AMA questions. We need them for you. Send them over to Brian, send them to Wendy. You can either send them to me or our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Chris, I'm trying to figure out this new show that everybody keeps talking about, and I just Hightown. Have you seen that, Chris?
I have not. What's it come on? I hadn't heard about it.
It's on Starz. I didn't see nothing about it. I saw the season finale preview. I was like, oh, let me check this out. So is anybody out there seeing Hightown? Let me know how it is. I need to find my new show, Chris. I just rewatch so many of the same shows over and over again. I'm about to drive my wife and myself crazy because if she hears the intro for Entourage one more damn time, because I've watched it like 8 times, it's just like, I'm leaving. So when she camps out upstairs all weekend, I know that I've done something wrong. So I need a new show to watch. I'm about to drive myself crazy.
Hightown. I wrote it down. Somebody let us know about it. Randy and I'll get into the NFL and the NFLPA negotiations. That's going on today as well. ESPN.com says they're close. There's a lot of layers to this thing. We'll kind of peel it back next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game of the Radio.com app. Hey, glad to have you along with us on that Radio.com app or wherever you may be joining us from today. The NFL and the NFL Players Association, they are getting into negotiations today. According to ESPN.com, a story there says the two sides are close, but there is a whole lot of layers to this and a whole lot of things they're going to have to figure out. Randy, I want to throw a couple things at you. I want you to tell me what you think the players are willing to give on, because there's going to have to be some compromise on both sides. But I'd like to hear from you from a player perspective in regards to what areas you think the players would be willing to give in. They are not willing, it sounds like, to give in on the idea of 35% of the salaries.
That ain't happening, Captain.
Yeah, no. And I've heard you say this before. As a matter of fact, one of Randy's often quoted sayings is, you don't ever mess with another man's money. And that's exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, the player's not going to give up that money. We know that's not going to happen. And I think just the one of the biggest things with the players is the loss of wages and how it will be spread out, because that's going to be the deciding factor, but it's going to be a big factor in it, because nobody wants to take on the brunt of having to pay what's going to be lost as far as revenue when you look at the no fans, just similar stuff like that, where somebody's going to have to take the brunt of that loss. The players are not giving that up. The players would like to be safe. I know that for a fact. I saw that Oakley is coming out with some kind of face guard right now too, so they're trying to get into the face guard protection also. But I think as long as it's not mandatory, you'll have some guys that might want to wear it, but a lot of guys probably won't wear it. But I mean, I think the biggest thing for the players, and definitely going to be the owners, is the monetary part about it. Of course, you're going to worry about getting sick and the testing and all those things, and how you are tested and all in the different protocols that much. But I think the first thing you're going to have to settle on is how it's going to be monetized. Is money. We want all our money. If we play all 16, we want all our money. You know, the owners are going to cut. Well, we don't have a full boat of fans and all this revenue, whatever. Don't want to hear. And that could be a case, Chris, where you're going to have to see them probably maybe have to give some back. Who knows? I mean, it's easy for me to say it. I ain't got to go through the process that they're going through right now. But just finished listening to Adam Schefter, and he's talking about, you know, not necessarily are they close. They just still a lot of obstacles that they have to get through as far as, you know, maybe delaying things, because they're set on this July 28th as far as the opening day for training camp, and I think it's maybe like July 26th for the Texans and the Chiefs because they play earlier. So, of course, the preseason thing is going to be – I don't think it's going to be a big issue as people think. I know the owners want to, the players want none. I just don't see how much money – you know, why do you need that – I don't want to call it a little bit because – when you're talking about broadcasting these preseason games, it's usually on local TV or whatever because you're not going to make a whole lot of money. I think that's the raggedest thing ever is that these owners make their fans pay full boat for a preseason damn game. I mean, I think it's just trash. So do they go to one game? I don't know. I honestly don't know how they are going to do it. But if I'm a player, as long as you ain't taking out my money, everything else is on the table.
Yeah, and you're 100% right. I feel like that's how the money gets, how the revenue gets divvied up, that's the real question here. All the, as you said, all the other things in terms of wearing masks, not wearing masks, the testing, the preseason games, all of that is all things that can be worked out, I think, fairly easily. But how much money the owners are projecting they're going to lose and how you help make up some of that, or do you help make up some of that? I mean, that's going to be the real question here is who can, which side is willing to come to the table and find a way that will create something that's agreeable for both sides. Because, it doesn't sound like the players, and I don't blame them. As a matter of fact, there's been some players that have come out and said, look, if we play in a pandemic, we should be getting more money. And I think that's a legit argument that somebody could make right now.
Yeah, I mean, there is a legit argument in all that right now. What happens if somebody does get positive? What if somebody doesn't want to play? I mean, there's so many different things that, you know, today is – and I'm sure they probably had preliminary – well, they've had preliminary talks about stuff last week. That's why you got the dumb behind jersey thing and all that, and they want both teams to arrive on buses to the stadium. Fine, we get all the safety protocols about it, but it's more to it than that, and – the most important thing is the safety part of it. It should be, but I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be the monetary part about it because that's what this is about.
Yeah.
We're about making money. We're about this money. We're about this loot. I'll make that sacrifice for this or that or whatever, but somebody's going to have to sacrifice, and a lot of it probably will have to do with spreading that money that they're going to or the losses that they're going to take this year and spreading it over like maybe 4 or 5 years of the next CBA because – it's going to be hard to make up a full freight of money, a full freight of what the NFL is used to getting on a yearly basis and the projections that they always do, because all these things as far as salary cap, it's all a projection for right now, and they don't know how it's going to look next year.
The money's going to be the big issue. Let's take a look at some of these smaller things now. Opt-out clause in a contract if a guy decides to sit out due to COVID. Does he get accrued time? Now, that becomes important, Randy, because that there is when you're starting to talk about, okay, if I elect to set out, how would this affect my time served, right? Which ultimately comes down to your pension in the NFL, correct?
Yes, it does. It does. You're absolutely correct. I mean, those accrued years, they matter. Now, if you're talking about a guy who's been in the league 7, 8 years, you're good. And when you look at how it's going to work or whatever, that's because the thing about it, if it's not accrued season and you're, say, for instance, you think you're going to free agency next year, oh no, you're not, because the season doesn't count, for you as far as the fact that you're getting a year closer towards free. No, I take that back. It should count because if you're not playing, then I think that you should probably still should count. But I'm thinking more or less about the accrued seasons and the benefits and the privileges and all that stuff. But I mean, we have not seen anybody in the NFL right now say that they're not gonna play. Now you've seen some of the stars like a J.J. Watt and all these guys say, I don't know. I'm pretty sure J.J. is gonna go play. I think that he, and I think a lot of the NFL players want to play. But I said the same thing about basketball, because I knew some players want to opt out. I didn't know who it was. It hasn't been a major player yet that has decided to opt out. But I mean, you have guys like just today we found out that Russell Westbrook is a positive test. We know that in baseball. We still don't know what's going to go on with that. So I think when you look at it from the NFL perspective, I need you to tell me, as a player, when I'm sitting there and we're talking about these negotiations, how the hell are we going to come into our facility and social distance from each other like y'all want to claim and wear a mask and all that, but then we get on the damn football field and we're in huddles, doing one-on-ones, because only way you're going to block somebody is you hit them, right, Chris? You can't be like, this is what I want you to do. I want you to move out the way, let the running back get 4 yards, and then I'm going to let you jump on his back. You know, it don't work like that. This is a competition sport, and, you know, that's just how we make our living, so we got to go out there and do it. So that'll be my, like, how are we going to do this now? Like, because I said something like early, a couple weeks ago, Chris, I was like, do they do it like this? Do you bring the offense in for 4 hours or 2 hours? Get the offense out of there to bring the defensive guys in there? Or do you rotate and shift it all like that? So that's going to be the thing. The players want to know, how the hell are we going to do this? How are we going to navigate through this thing and try to stay positive? I mean, try to stay not catching it. How are we going to actually do this? Show me the game plan. Show me that blueprint for doing it.
I think, Randy, they have to allow guys, if players want to opt out of playing, I think if they don't feel safe, they don't feel comfortable, I think that has to be something that the owners have to give. They have to allow that to happen. Now, my question for you is this. There is no agreement yet on if a COVID-19 positive test would be considered a football injury. Why is that important? Why would the players want that to be considered a football injury? Does that mean that the team has to pay for your treatment?
Yes. Okay. But I think it's very important, because if you're putting yourself out there with a possibility to get it, the thing about it is that it's definite, Chris, that you're going to have to miss time. You're definitely going to have to miss some field time if you contract COVID-19. So yeah, it should be on there. Why shouldn't it be? I'm out here taking a risk and everything. I know other people in other jobs take other risks and bigger risks than just playing a football game. I get it. I understand that. All right. Don't make me say that a football player's life and his job is more important than others. It's not. It's not. And I won't ever make that mistake, which I never have tried to put it above anything else. But I mean, yeah, why shouldn't it be? I mean, I'm out there. If I catch it, I got to miss time. Why can't it be like that? You know, and that's where it's going to be the tricky part, is when they bring these players in and you're talking about when they're getting tested and whenever you get a positive. When were you positive? Were you positive on our watch? Huh? When you left our facility, what were you doing when you were on your way home? Did you stop by Tootsie's or somewhere? I mean, these are the things that are going to have to be proven.
Right.
Because you're like, how did you get it and where did you get it? Did you get it here or did you get it out in the streets? I think that's one of the harder things to prove, right?
Yeah.
How do you know? Unless you see somebody out in a spot or whatever, and you can might be able to, you know, attribute that and track it back to where it came from. But yeah, how you know I went up in the shake last night? You know what I'm saying? How you know?
Current CBA says the players have to report to camp 47 days before the first game. If you don't have preseason, If there's no preseason games at all, how late could you go to report before you're ready to play September the 13th or 14th, whatever that first Sunday is? I'll have to look that up now that I've said that. But do you need a full 47 days at that point if there's no preseason games?
I think it's all about how you start it off, because you want to be able to give these guys a time to adjust, because – we always know that if you've ever been through – anybody who's played football or been through camps and all these things, that first like 7 days is the hardest days, because of the fact that your body is not acclimated to all that running. You can train all you want to and all that in the offseason. You're going to have them camp legs. Camp legs are undefeated. You can get in the cold tub, all that, to try and relieve that. But camp legs, you got to get camp legs to know that you're going to be fine. And them camp legs and all that stuff. And then you got to rev yourself up to wearing a helmet again. And you go out there running plays with the helmet on. Then you put your shoulder pads on. And then you start hitting and doing all those things. So 47 days, I think that's ample enough time to get it done. It might be too much time. But because you can't practice, or if you don't have those preseason games, you got to find a way to get some live hitting in, Chris. You got to find a way to get them pads banging against each other. Somehow or another, if it's the same guy you're going against every single day, you got to find some way to loosen them pads up if you're not going to have preseason games.
September 13th, by the way, that is the first NFL Sunday. Real quick, Randy, as we're running up against it here, do we have exhibition football?
Yes. At least one
game?
At least one. I'll say one.
All right. I feel like that could be the compromise. The compromise could be one game. So we'll see. NFL players and the Players Association, they are meeting today. Ask Me Anything. That is coming up next here. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker along with Randy McBeigel. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app.
gentlemen.
Time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's actually time for Ask Me Anything. We'll get into that this hour, brought to you by rightfromtheheart.org.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask Me Anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Wendy, what kind of questions have you got for us today?
Why can't I hit a right button? No, I'm just kidding. That's not where we're going to start today. It's just been one of those Mondays. The Monday
is
of Mondays.
Hey, that's your one for the day. That's your one for the day.
And it
come at 1:40, so you've had a pretty good day.
Andy is the dry snitch of our show. But I mean, we've been going through a lot of technical stuff between Chris dropping and then Comcast doing a test over here. All our internet go out in our house. And Chris, you got babies, you got your daughters, and everybody who's out there with kids, when the Wi-Fi go out, it's like all hell broke loose. You just seen all of them coming to the damn window with that shrug. Daddy, what's going on? What's going on? I'm like, hey man, get the hell out of me. I'm trying to work. Y'all trying to play a damn video game. I'm trying to damn work. And y'all talking about some, what's going on with the Wi-Fi. Like, man, y'all get the hell on somewhere. So it's been a lot of technical difficulty, but we appreciate y'all patience. And because me and Chris, we are professionals. So we got this down. What you got, Wendy?
All right, so it leads me to my first question for Chris. Chris, so our midday show is a big old family. So for the listeners who don't know, tell us a little bit about your family.
Let's see. I have two daughters. They are 15. Which I'm not thrilled about. We just got a driver's permit a couple of weeks ago.
Nice. So,
I'll ask for prayers now. And the youngest is 11. They are complete and exact opposites of one another. My 15-year-old is the sweetest, kindest, most gentle child who would never say anything or do anything to hurt anyone. And my youngest will pretty much cut you. That is the two of those kids in a nutshell. And then I also have three dogs. I have two Shih Tzus that are unfortunately getting up there in age. They are both, one of them is 10. She's suffering with a kidney issue right now and a heart problem on top of that. So we don't know how much longer she's going to be with us. No. I've got another one that's 13, and she's having some joint issues. And then we have Georgia, which is our bulldog, and she is 65 pounds of squishy face that thinks she is a lap dog. So that is that's all five of my kids, because in our house the dogs, my wife would not have it any other way. The dogs, listen, if you believe in reincarnation, you want to come back as my wife's dogs. And I say her dogs because she is the one that makes sure those dogs, they live a better life and eat better than I do, Randy.
Oh, I believe it, brother. I believe it, man. I believe it. But, yeah, I mean, everybody knows me and Chris, we work a lot together, especially during college football season. So I'm always fun to hang out with my dude. What you got, Gwendy?
Well, Chris, in that house full of girls, let's follow it up with this question, because Andy is about to become a girl dad to baby Lily due next month. What's your advice as a girl dad for Andy?
Oh, you know, I used to have people ask me all the time about, oh gosh, I bet you wanted a boy, didn't you? I bet you would have liked to have had a boy. And I can't imagine life now any other way than without two girls. It's been amazing. My advice to anybody, and when people say they grow up so fast, I was looking at my two yesterday, and my oldest posted a picture of the two of them on Instagram, and I'm like, my gosh, when did this happen? My advice to any parent, whether you're a new parent or whatever, man, take that time and enjoy those moments. And if they want to play, stop what you're doing, get off the laptop, shut the computer down, turn the TV off, whatever, get down on the floor and play and enjoy those days, because I'd give anything, Randy, to go play with dolls when we get off the air today.
Hey, man, I can tell you what, and especially, we all know the girls, they're different than boys, especially when, you know, my boys, they're rough, you know, they spoiled as hell because, you know, that's what I did, I spoiled them. But my girls, the baby girls, they just different. They bat their eyes, you know. Like you said, Daddy, can you come play some teapot? And Chris, you know this. And any dad out there with daughters has been through this. When you sit in them little chairs with that damn fake tea, but that's all you got to do sometimes. Just sit there and drink that little fake tea with your pinky up. It's always fun.
We need to get Andy a subscription to the American Girl Doll catalog, because that will be in his future soon enough. So you might as well go ahead and get those catalogs just delivered to the house.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. No doubt.
Well, guys, today is National Friday, so happy National Friday. Which fast food place has the best French fries?
Checkers.
Yeah, right. So
huh?
Good. Yeah, I said you're right. Those are so good.
Oh, I thought, because I know you have Arby's curly fry girl.
Oh, Checkers is always number one on the list.
But Checkers got to be number one. French fries. Mm-hmm.
Whew, sure. I've got to go to Checkers. I couldn't tell you when was the last time I ate at Checkers.
But we got Checkers fries. We have, like, Chris, I was telling them a couple weeks ago, when you go in our freezer, there's like three or four different types of fries in our refrigerator right now. We got the Checkers fries, and we got some shoestring fries. We got the Cranklies. We got the waffles. Every type of fry in the world is in our refrigerator right now, in our freezer right now. So whenever they want, just pop them in the air fryer. They good. So yeah, the French fries, but the Checkers are the one that go. The Checkers fries are the ones that go first in the house.
I would probably have to go Arby's. Arby's curly fries. That's generally my go-to. I'm not a huge fry eater, and I will admit that I do still enjoy an order of fries from McDonald's every now and then, but Arby's would probably have to be my number one, but based on your two suggestions, I'm going to have to make a trip by Checkers later today.
Ooh, do it. You will not regret it. If you had to pick a song to best describe your life, what would it be?
Song that describes Randy. I don't know, Chris. There's so many of them, man.
Yeah, I think mine's probably... it's definitely a blues song. How about that?
Yeah.
So
okay,
maybe B.B. King's paying the cost to be the boss. How about that?
I'm with you on that one, dog. I'm gonna go with Payback by James Brown. Big payback, revenge, get back. Yeah, I like that one. Don't know why I like it. I just first thing I come up with.
Someone wants to know: would you guys ever do hair implants like Mike Bell?
Oh, man, I was about to use the F word. No. My bad. I was like, oh, God, no, don't say that. No, because, you know, the thing, yeah, because everything's not working back there. No, you know why? Because we don't lose our hair in our family. Like, we all got a good grade of hair, man. We do. I mean, Uncle Greg is bald, but I think he does that on purpose. But, like, you look at my Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave got all his hair. My cousin Mario. We all the men, we got good grades of hair. So I'm good for right now.
Same on this end, Randy. I've got now, it's all turning gray. But
oh, yeah, I ain't worried
loose.
About being gray. I ain't worried about being gray, man. That's gray. Gray is a sign that I'm seasoned. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't old. I'm seasoned.
There's a lot of seasoning on top of this head.
Yeah, I'm seasoned like a griddle, man. Or, you know, that's how I'm good. I'm good. I'm seasoned. You know, you'll never call me old. Like Andy been trying to call me old.
Bad Boys 1, Bad Boys 2, or Bad Boys 3?
2.
Oh. Yeah, 2.
2.
Two. One of the few DVDs I still own, by the way.
Yeah, I like one, but I like two. I think maybe because of going to Cuba and all that. Three was all right. I think maybe three was just trying to do too much for me. It was like, okay, I liked it, but it was a little bit too much for me.
Best movie you've seen in the last year?
Best movie, man. I don't really go see movies.
Frozen 2.
Oh, there you go. I tell you what I did watch yesterday. The Old Guard, me and Donna sat and watched that last night on the new Netflix movie. It's all right. We made her watch it last night. But, cousin, God, I don't watch a lot of movies, really. I can't. Well, last time I went to movie theater when Big Hugh did the thing with V103 and them over at the theater for Bad Boys 3. That's the last time I seen a movie.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the last movie I saw in the theater. I'm sure it was probably a kids movie a couple of years ago. I took the kids to see. In terms of movies we've watched recently, though, last week I had never seen any of these before, the Bourne movies. And so we started those last week with, what was it, Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Legacy, all of those. And I think I've watched... three or four of them now, and those were really good. So I enjoy that whole series of movies. It's one of those where I would hate having never seen it before. I watched them all in chronological order, and I'm glad that I did that, Randy, because otherwise
I've done it all. I love doing that.
Yeah, otherwise, I don't know if I would have been able to make any sense out of if I just jumped into one of them without having that that backstory on it. That is, I don't know that I would have got it. The other movie that I have seen recently that when it came out back in the 80s, I didn't care much for it. Now that I've gone back and rewatched it again, I found myself really enjoying it. And it's the first James Bond movie with Timothy Dalton, The Living Daylights.
I don't know what you're talking about right there. You lost me with that. I've never seen, you know, I cannot remember if I've ever seen a James Bond movie. But I love Bourne. I just wasn't into it, man. But this is how bored I am, Chris, with just trying to find something to watch. I sat there and watched all the Mission Impossibles all over again with Tom Cruise. Watch all of them. Just like, okay, I sit here and watch them all. Why not?
You guys ready for takeaways?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Our show heads into the final stretch. It's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Randy, how about you start us off? What's your takeaway of the day?
Deep down inside, I knew that Wendy was a dog by nature, by her choice of playing our song. Wendy, I do appreciate you because you didn't have to do it. But the fact is that you felt the need to do it. And, you know, it just touched my heart, Wendy. It just touched my heart, Wendy, and I just appreciate you so much.
Need is such a strong word there, Randy. I was just being more of a team player, if you will. You know, just making radio gold over here, which leads me to my takeaway. I'm surprised I didn't damage anything on my own by everything that happened today. So patience is still up there. I'm still doing well.
Sainthood may be in your future, Wendy. Sainthood may be in your future. My takeaway of the day actually was nothing that happened on air. It happened off air when Wendy informed me, and I will get to hear this story before the end of the week, Randy, but a story about a side hustle you had in college, apparently, working some bachelorette parties.
Hey, man. I did it one time, Chris. All right, everybody trying to label me as a stripper. No, I stripped, okay? It's stripped. I stripped one time. I didn't do it multiple times.
First off,
we got to go.
Like a flat fee, or did you work off of tips?
I worked off tips.
Let's go. Brian, what you got for us today?
A couple quick ones for you guys. According to Randy, Mark Melanson has that daddy don't spank me face. yeah, he put that one in. I've known Chris for 4 years now, and I never knew that he had a bulldog named Georgia, and now I like him even more.
Yes.
And Chris would do anything to play with dolls after the show today.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm headed to do right now. Thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you guys for letting me hang out. I guess we'll get to do this again tomorrow, right? I guess they're going to let me back.
Oh, yeah, we'll see you tomorrow, brother, man. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for putting up with all the technical difficulties. We got it all worked out. See ya.
Watch out now.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.